we got us another board game review here. And this is one that I am very lucky to have played with people, unlike most of the ones I have. This is A Time of Crisis. This game is a war game disguised as a deck builder. It's pretty brilliant, actually. The way that this game is able to trick people thinking that they're playing a deck builder, that it's actually a war game. And it's good because it tricks war gamers who refuse to play deck builders into playing a deck builder. It's really brilliant. So this game takes place in the 80s. 235 AD, to be exact. And in this game, you play as one of four families fighting to control Rome and become the emperor. Well, there's some pesky barbarians trying to invade the empire. So, I'll start with what I really love about this game. So, the deck building aspect of this game is great. You start out with really weak cards with the number ones, but as you slowly expand your family's influence in each province, you get cards of 2 value, 3 value, and 4. And the higher the value, obviously the better they do. But the brilliance of this game within its deck building is the specialization. So, you can choose, there's 3 categories. There's the military aspect, the senate aspect, and the populace aspect. So, if you focus militarily, your army's going to have a lot of punch. It's going to have a lot of punches to throw. You're going to have massive armies to invade with. You're going to have lots of generals to separate your armies with. A lot of places to take over. But if you go too much on military, you're going to lack the Senate aspect skills to get elected. And you're not going to be very popular. Which, doing things militarily in this game tend to not make you popular. You can focus completely on Senate stuff. But the problem is, an invading army comes in, it lowers your value because invading armies scare the people into voting a different way. And if you focus too much on your populace, you can be really, really liked, but it doesn't really matter if you're liked if you don't control anything or you don't have anything to back it up when the people maybe create a mob. So, like it or not, you have to balance yourself out in these 3 aspects because specializing in one will kind of doom you with the other two. But that's what I like. It's also okay to take risks like that. I've only won this game once, and I had to be a complete snake to win, so I'm not going to act like I'm good at the game. But the deck building strategy is really good. And also, what's a cool concept is you can also burn cards at a cost. So maybe you don't want 1s and 2 cards later in the game. Maybe you only want 3s and 4s. This allows you to burn cards so you have less cards in your deck to deal with. And unlike most deck builders, this one lets you choose your hand. And then once they're in your discard pile, you can't use them until your hands are empty. This is a really good game mechanic. Because it gives you more freedom of choice as per se a game like DC Deck Builder or Power Play. So yeah, that's why I just wanted to go over the deck building. It's definitely a thing I love. I love also the dynamic of this game. So the goal of the game is to get the most points and also be the emperor while you have the most points. And it gets very Game of Thrones-like because it's never smart to step on too many people's toes, but if you're going to be the emperor, everyone's toes are getting crushed here. I wish this was more than 4 players, because I could see this being a really good 6-player game. They just have to make more provinces, but it works as a 4-player game. And what's really cool too is, while you're all kind of, maybe not fighting each other, but you're a little hostile with one another, the big problem are the barbarians. Now, barbarians every turn are rolled to see if any cross into the Roman lands, which, like the real time frame, were overrun by barbarians. I can't talk. So, barbarians are both good and bad. They are really good when you need some points and you have a big army. because they're not usually too hard to defeat unless you get bad luck like me and roll a bunch of ones. But barbarians can be a massive issue if your whole armies are elsewhere fighting, and now all of a sudden you got a bunch of barbarians coming in, raiding your lands and making your people upset. It's a really good dynamic because it even comes to a point where you can ask another player to take care of your problem, and you know they might do it because they're going to want those sweet points, because winning battles versus barbarians make your legacy much higher than if you're fighting each other, which is a nice touch to an extent. I think it does become a little overpowered, but it is a nice touch because the people of Rome would care more about you stopping enemies invading the place more so than you fighting each other. And then the ultimate barbarians are these kind of rebel armies, which a rebel emperor will claim themselves emperor. And that's when you and everybody gotta maybe take care of this. Or at least the emperor for sure has to, if there is one. It's a cool concept. You also get a crap ton of points for killing a rival emperor who comes in and claims your land. So that's enough with the barbarians. I'll tell you kind of the core game mechanics here. So, and I'm going to be including the DLC, or the expansion. I believe it's called Steel and Iron. I have no clue. I just threw it in the box. And I don't feel like opening it right now. So, I've told you about the three aspects. Military, kind of Senate, and then there's populace. In the game, you start off in a province where you control the Senate. You control that area's province. Your goal is to keep expanding and getting more provinces. Well, also, most provinces have a number between 1 and 4 of your popularity. You want to get that popularity higher and higher because you get to buy more cards with that popularity. But the more provinces you control, the cheaper those cards are going to be, if that makes sense. So you're basically invading different provinces with your military, lowering the support that usually an NPC has earlier in the game. So a basically the computer character, which just a neutral character. Basically, there's a bunch of neutral senators, and you're easily going to take over those areas. The problem becomes, once you start getting a bunch of them, other people are now competing for those provinces. So it becomes a little harder to rig these elections to get your governors in charge. So there's different tactics here. You can try to lower other people's popularity and then take their seats at the Senate. You can bring your military in and fight it out, which I'll get to a negative, but one of the negatives in this game is the military movement, and it's something that I don't think is as bad as my group thinks is really bad. I really like the combat in this game. I think the combat's simple, easy, to the point. I think it could be a little bit deeper. I will grant that. If it was a little deeper, I think it'd be more fun, especially if you could have maybe like a moving militia instead of just a city militia. If you could have like militia in your arms, I think that actually make it a little more realistic and a little more interesting because it was very common. I like that you can also recruit barbarians to your armies. But anyways, combat is basically like just whoever has more legions rolls more dice. You just get hits for certain numbers and then you assign the hits. It's really simple. Don't gotta look at charts. Don't gotta look at tables. Just simple math. And what's cool is in this game, every time a 6 is rolled, you re-roll that number and you get a bonus. It's called an exploding dice. So in a combat, if I roll a 6 with my 1 legion, they now get to roll again and have an opportunity for an extra hit. It's a nice touch because it gives an underdog an amazing chance. If they're outnumbered like 4-2, maybe they get 2 6s. Now it's basically 4-4, and ties usually go, I think ties, unless for a certain card, always go to the defender. One of the criticisms, I do have is in combat, I wish besides legions, and I already talked about militia, maybe you could have more cavalry units. I know they're depicted on the cards, but I think having like a cavalry unit would make it a little more interesting, maybe give you an advantage. Besides that, though, like, those are the big pluses. I'll go over the negatives now. Now, my group thinks it's a much bigger negative than I do, but the army movement is considered a flaw. So, you can cross through enemy provinces at no penalty. You don't even have to fight in an enemy province. you can just basically pass through and go to another place. There's no rule stopping you. That's why we've implemented like a house rule where you can roll a six-sided dice to try to intercept them. But besides that, I think I understand what the rule's trying to say, because the Rome is so big, it would be easy to like slide an army through a province without enemy troops knowing, but it's also the idea that everyone scouts everyone out historically and you'd know if someone was coming through. So that's my first negative. My second negative is I think it's a little too easy to take away someone's popularity. I think that, like, for example, barbarians just eating your popularity really quickly is such a pain that it diverts from the game, the goal of becoming emperor. But it's also a good obstacle to have. It means you just got to invest more militarily. But because of that, that makes it more of an optimal strategy compared to the other two. Because I think if there are ways to bribe barbarians and get them to just chill for a turn, but maybe it'd be more interesting that you'd have to do a roll for barbarians to raid to see if you were going to get a negative popularity. I think that'd make it more interesting, because just because the barbarians are there, obviously the people are pissed, but if they're not doing anything, I don't think they'd be all up in arms. They'd more so just be like, oh crap. So that's something in the game I don't like. I wish there were actually rules for barbarians to do raids, to do bad things, and I don't think it's implied that they are. I think it's just kind of implied they're there. So, yeah, also, maybe even if it's such a problem, maybe the barbarians should be more ambitious and attack other places as well. Like, maybe the barbarians should go for your capital. I think that'd be interesting. Then that'd also encourage more militia spending. I don't know, it's just little ideas like that to lose popularity instead of them just being there. The Limes is also a little bit... I think the Limes is the best building by far, and that's not a flaw of the game. It's just the Limes is so valuable as a building that there's no reason not to buy one. And I think the building bonus is a little bit dumb. I think a building shouldn't get you a whole bonus point to your province. I think they're an investment. They do their job. You shouldn't be given bonus stuff because you have to build buildings in this game. You basically have to build armies and build buildings, because if you're not, you're never going to win. The Emperor is also... it is at times kind of dumb, because usually whoever becomes emperor now just kind of turtles unless there's a fake and like an imposter emperor. And I think it encourages a very defensive playstyle, and that person will win the game if the other three can't cooperate, which I do really like. I should have put this in the plus, but I guess I don't kind of like that being the emperor now makes you play a very defensive style. Although, if you get the emperor, like the military emperor, then disregard what I'm saying, because that's where you get your bonus points. That's definitely cool. Yeah, and that's basically Time of Crisis. I don't love this game more than a lot of the others I'm going to have on my top 10 list. I think, though, it's a great entry-level war game. I think, though... the other thing that's kind of lost here is I don't think the theme entirely represents the game. Like, I think the gameplay is pretty transferable. Like, the gameplay, it's kind of more a really good game system with a theme on top of it, not the theme of Rome dictating the gameplay of it. I think, though, GMT put a lot of good effort in this game, though. I can tell the art's beautiful. The map is beautiful. Again, great entry-level game. I can't think of why anyone would hate this game except for spite. It's a fun... I could play this with anybody who has a little bit of an interest in war games, but like casual people will not want to play this. So yeah, that's my review of A Time of Crisis. I'm going to give it a B-. And it's a really good B-. It's only because my bar... like, this would be in my top... this is in my top 20 games of all time. I can't put in the top 10, though, just because I think there's more flavor to a lot more games than this one. And this one, after you've played about 4 games of this, you know exactly what the game is, and you know exactly where to go. Anyways, thanks for listening to my review. God bless, praise Christ. Hope you listen next time.